Thank you, Chris Morales. John, the Miami Dolphins made a surprising move today. Tua Tagovailoa will be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins this weekend. Veteran Ryan Fitzpatrick had been playing well, leading the Dolphins to two consecutive wins by a combined score of 67-17. Also has the seventh best QBR in the NFL. Miami head coach Flores says of Tua, he's doing well physically and mentally from a health standpoint. It was obviously a serious injury, but he's done a great job as far as getting himself back healthy and at the point where he can take a lot of reps in practice. Miami 3-3, game behind Buffalo in the AFC East. Is Flores doing the right thing by going to Tua right now?
No. This move makes no sense to me, and I love Tua. I think Tua is great. But what, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You've had that win in San Francisco 2 weeks ago where the Dolphins just dominated the Niners on the road. And then you come back and you torch the Jets. I know everybody torches the Jets, but this is the equivalent of when you're at a blackjack table in Vegas walking away on a hot streak. You never walk away on a hot streak. I hate this move. How about you?
Obviously he's the future. Obviously Justin Herbert has had success. Joe Burrow has had success with the San Diego Chargers and with the Cincinnati Bengals. I would stay with Fitzmagic here. I mean, while you're going well and while you're in the playoff chase, it's not necessarily the best time to break in a rookie quarterback, regardless of how good he is. I would stick with Fitzmagic until the magic goes away, or at least until I drift out of the playoffs. But right now, you're in it, man. Brian Flores, go win.
Here's the weird thing. There's a blueprint here that tells you what to do. Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes was drafted to be the franchise quarterback of the Chiefs 3 years ago. Alex Smith was there, and they were going to play Alex Smith until the team was either out of it or Smith got hurt or whatever.
Yes.
Smith got him off to like a 7-1 start, and Mahomes just sat there. And they didn't play Mahomes until week 16 because the Chiefs had a chance to go to the Super Bowl with Alex Smith. They played Mahomes in week 16. He played the last game. Smith led him in the playoffs, and when the offseason came around, they cut Smith and gave the team to Mahomes. Tua's not going anywhere. Like you say, he's the future of the franchise. The only question you should ask every week if you're the head coach of an NFL team is, what quarterback gives us the best chance to win? And Fitzpatrick has just led them to two easy wins. These wins weren't even hard. I wouldn't do it. I'm with you. I think they're making a mistake.
Yeah, I think they're rushing him. I think as long as things are going well, there's no reason to go to Tua. Try to make the playoffs, man. You're in that thing. Try to make the playoffs, and your best chance to go is to stick with your veteran quarterback. It's to you.
Okay. Mace, Sid Hartman, a legendary sports reporter in Minnesota, died on Sunday at the age of 100. Hartman worked his entire life, even posting a final column that appeared on the day he died. He was so popular there that they put up a statue of him outside of the Target Center in Minneapolis in 2010 when he was only 90. Two questions here. If I gave you the choice, would you want to live up to 100? That means you would die in the year 2065, 45 years from now. If I said, hey, Mace, you can live to 100 or you could check out earlier. Would you take the live to 100 thing?
It all depends. It sounds like this Sid Hartman guy was in pretty good shape all the way until he was 100 years old. I mean, he was still writing columns. I want to live, John, until a day before miserable. I've seen this go on, when people get older and it gets to be a struggle. I don't want to be one of those guys. I'm happy to go in my 80s. I don't need to live to 100.
Okay. My other question is, let's say you do live to 100.
Yeah.
Would you want to work right up until the end like he did?
I will be doing the Culture Pop podcast for the rest of my life. I really will. When this is all over, I'm going to be doing the Culture Pop podcast. I'm going to keep doing this for the rest of my life, so I stay in the business somehow, even when I'm done with necessarily a daily radio show in 10 years. How much longer are we going to do this, 10?
I never know. I've for the eighth straight contract, you and I, I always say I go into these contracts thinking this is the last one. So who knows? I tell everybody, it's like surfing. You ride the wave until it kicks you off.
That's true.
So right now we're riding the wave and everything's going good. So let's ride it until it kicks us off.
Amen.
All right, it's you.
All right. Cooper Manning's son, Arch Manning, is now a top-rated quarterback playing for Isidore Newman High School in New Orleans. He's now a sophomore. Last week, he made his ESPN debut. Now, of course, his grandfather is a legend. His uncles are quarterback legends. And there's a lot of attention on Arch. But at 16, is Arch Manning too young to feel the pressure of a national television game?
Yes, of course he is. I mean, these making stars out of these high school kids is a bad idea. It's you're trying to monetize high school kids. We don't need it. But I know it happens. It happened to LeBron.
Yeah.
And LeBron, turned out just fine. So I get it. I get that everybody wants to see what's new, what's next, as you like to say.
Yep.
But if it was up to me, if I was the one making the decisions, I'm not televising high school games. How about you?
You know what? I actually think this is going to work to Arch's advantage. By all accounts, he is just a phenomenal talent at quarterback. And why not be in national televised critical games if you're Arch Manning? You're going to do that for the rest of your life. Why not get started? Why not start practicing under pressure? Actually play your games with some additional pressure, because that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. So I'm actually okay with this. I understand why Arch, at 16 is a young guy, but I think the pressure ultimately is going to help him when he works at a higher level.
What'll be interesting is to see where he goes to college. Both his uncle Eli and his grandfather Archie, who he's named after, went to Ole Miss. So, there'll be a lot of pressure on him to go there. His uncle Peyton went to Tennessee, and as you mentioned, he's in New Orleans, so LSU is coming guns blazing. Coach O is coming after him, with guns blazing. It'll be a really interesting decision to see where he decides to go to college.
It's to you.
All right, Mace, the owners of the Sacramento Bee newspaper have come up with an idea on how to pay their writers in the future. They want to base their pay on the number of clicks their stories get.
Oh, no.
The Writers Guild is fighting this hard, encouraging their readers to sign a petition that would stop this before it starts. The writers feel that if pay is based on clicks, it will lead to more sensationalism and less news. The owners are trying to survive in a dying business that's been made even worse by the pandemic. So, good idea or bad idea to pay newspaper writers based on the amount of clicks they get?
It is an absolutely awful idea. Once you start writing specifically to get clicks, you're not doing news anymore. You're not doing journalism anymore. Journalism still means something. I mean, I read an awful lot of articles that I think probably don't get that many clicks, things that I'm interested in, things that I read about. We already live in too much of a clickbait society. I think adding this is just a terrible way to approach journalism.
You are 100% right. And at a time where it's never been more important to put a microscope to authority, to politicians, to governors and presidents and senators, that would all go away. Every highlight would become about the Kardashians, about LeBron, about the biggest stars in sports. Nobody's going to want to do an investigative piece on the LA mayor's office and what they might be doing illegally.
Right.
I hope people in Sacramento jump all over the owners of this news. It's a group called the McClatchy Group. I hope that the readers respond with a tidal wave of cancel it. Make it very clear that they're not going to subscribe to the Bee if they go this route. Because you're right. It's the end of honest journalism as we know it. I know most honest journalism has already died, but whatever we have left is gone if they do this.
Yeah,
couldn't agree with
it.
You more.
Got to save it. All right, so there is your scoop for today. Coming up next, John, we haven't talked to the people. I'm in Dallas getting ready for the World Series. I'm in Arlington, Texas. John is back in L.A. We're getting ready for game one of the World Series. I guess the two questions, because we haven't talked about it yet with callers. Who do you think is going to win? Why? How many games? And what do you expect from Kershaw tonight?
Who do you think?
Easy questions.
Win? Come on. How about just, do you agree with Ireland that it's Dodgers in five, or with Mason that it's Dodgers in seven?
That's a very good way to phrase it.
For the Rays. You know, there is a group of people rooting for the Rays, and it's interesting who it is. I'll tell you who it is coming up.
All right, cool. And 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. For Dodger fans, we'll get some calls in here coming up next. Mesa in Ireland. I'm in Arlington. John's in L.A., 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, here we go, people. I'm in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for game one of the World Series. Clayton Kershaw. Oh, Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers versus Tyler Glasnow. Nice starter for the Tampa Rays. And John is very confident about this series. He says, Dodgers in five.
Yep, this is their year. And Gus in Brentwood is online. Hey, Gus, what do you think? You agree with me? Dodgers in five? What do you think, Gus?
Oh, man. Mr. Mason, Mr. Ireland, thank you for taking my call. You know what? I would love to be on the boat with you, Mr. Ireland, and say, hell yeah, you know, Dodgers in five. But, you know, they can never make it easy. We can never make it easy or anything like that. I got to side with Mr. Mason on this one. Dodgers in seven. But I don't care if it takes us seven games, man. This is the third time in 4 years. I think Dodger Nation is sick and tired of just seeing us go to the World Series and be content with it. We need a, you know, we need a title. Yes, we just had the Lakers give us one.
Yep.
But the Lakers, when they go, they win. They come back with one. The Dodgers haven't.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very true. Thanks, Gus, for the phone call.
Yeah, and by the way, do you think the Lakers winning the championship puts more pressure on the Dodgers to do the same?
I think it almost puts less.
I think it puts more.
Because, like, I think it's, you know, I our think cup, if is, the Dodgers win it, our cup runneth over in L.A. We would get two titles in the same month. I think the fact that the Lakers just win one would takes a little pressure off the Dodgers. Like,
well, see, I think it puts pressure on because you're getting a really good visual on exactly where these franchises are. One gets to the finals and wins. The other gets to the World Series and loses. And I think optically it's going to be very, very bad. I mean, there's this all this whole, you know, it's a Lakers town, it's a Dodgers town, all that stuff. It's both.
Right.
But the Lakers have won. Now the Dodgers have to pay this off. Or to me, it's going to be really embarrassing.
All right, here is Gelato Drew in L.A. Drew, do you call yourself that because you eat a lot of gelato?
Oh, no, it's a certain strand. Mace knows what I'm talking about.
Oh I see.
Yeah. Pura Yesca.
There we go.
Drew, what happens in this series?
I got to side with my man, L.A. Ireland. It's a cakewalk, baby. Straight
cakewalk.
Title.
Oh. Did he give the whoosh?
Heck yeah.
Straight shot to the title.
Straight
Mace.
Shot to the World Series, Mace.
And
shot.
It's a cakewalk, and Mace is going to prove that there's no curse.
That's right.
Excellent.
Screw
well, I love
curse.
Your attitude,
give
man.
Me cake. Where's
I
my
love
cake?
Your attitude.
Everybody send Mason cake memes. Straight
oh,
to the
no.
title, Mace.
Is this going to come back to bite me?
No, it's straight to the title. Lots of cake coming your way. Yeah.
Straight to the title.
Curtis in Whittier. Hey, Curtis, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Curtis.
Listen. Before all the pandemic started and all of the playoffs started, we were posed a question, and I remember somebody said this on ESPN 710. Somebody said, would you rather have the Lakers win the championship or the Dodgers?
Yes.
And everybody start picking the Lakers.
Yep.
Now, if the Dodgers don't win, we can't have our cake and eat it too. Or can we have our cake and...
Whoosh! Right to the
top. Now callers are doing it. Yeah. Now callers are doing it. That's
yeah, no,
awesome.
Yeah, Curtis, you're right. It's all about cake. It's a piece of cake. Dodgers in five. Eat big. As Ezekiel Elliott says, feed me.
Feed me.
And then, of course, he fumbled the first two times they gave him the ball. Curtis.
Straight to the title.
Ramon in Chino. Hey, Ramon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So,
what's up, Ramon?
You know what? I got to side with Ireland here. I'm hoping it's five, and the main reason is because I'm going to be at game five. So, I'm really hoping it's five.
Hey, so Ramon, let me ask you a question. How'd you get tickets?
A friend of mine, her friend bought tickets when they went on sale and
got lucky and got them. Yeah, because Mace, I wonder. Yeah, one of the things, Mace, I'm interested in tonight is how many Dodger fans got their hands on these tickets.
Well, I can tell you, John, that yesterday on the flight from L.A. to Dallas, I would say fully 25 or even a third of that plane was Dodger fans. Dodger fans are coming to this series, making the trip. Yeah, yeah.
I would think. You know, it's because, I mean, think about it. Of all the, what are they letting in, like 11,000 people?
Yep.
And Ramon, you're just going to game five? Like you won't stay for game six? Oh, he's gone. I think
if you come for game five, you got to stay for six and seven, right?
Well, but can he get in? That's the issue. But it was interesting. When Bellinger hit the homer, they had a lot of crowd shots of Dodger fans jumping up and down.
There were a bunch.
So somehow Dodger fans got their hands on the tickets. Here's John in Riverside. Hey, John, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
John.
I got to be honest. I think the Dodgers should win this series, maybe a sweep or five games. You watch Tampa Bay's lineup, I honestly wonder, how did they get this far? It's a bunch of guys hitting a .150, .200, except for, what's his name, Arozarena or something like that?
Yep,
Arozarena.
It's just like all or nothing and just strike out or pop up.
Exactly. It's a bunch of banjo playing pop-ups. Right.
Here's where you're right. You're right, totally right on the fact that Arozarena is the only guy that hit. Is the only guy that hit in this last series, and everybody else was under 200. So what Tampa does is they win because of their pitching. They win because they've got a really good 1-2-3 in the rotation with Glasnow and Snell and Charlie Morton, who we'll probably see in game three, and they've got a bunch of guys who throw 100 miles an hour out of the bullpen. That's their strength. That's why they are here. They're not here because of their bats.
But you're right. Well, and here's, John, I mentioned earlier that there's a group of people that want the Rays to win. And that group is the small market teams with low payrolls. Because if you think about it, the Dodgers pay Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw more money than the Rays' entire payroll. So Tampa, they did things like, Mace, if you look at their defense, they believe in run prevention.
Because yes, they
do. You don't have to pay for defense like you do for offense. So, I mean, look at how many runs Betts has saved the Dodgers.
Unbelievable.
I mean, if it's possible, he's actually been a bargain for what they paid him.
I mean, if you look at it, John, he didn't really have a great series at the plate. He had an unbelievable series defensively. I mean, those are world-class plays, and those are game-saving plays that he has made out in right field. I mean, run prevention is incredibly important. You hit something anywhere between center and right field for the Dodgers, and those guys are going to get to it. That is an unbelievable right side of the outfield.
I was thinking about it, and I think Betts, in only one short season, might be the best defensive outfielder I've ever seen the Dodgers have. And I've been watching Dodger games since I was a little kid. But defensively, I mean, they've had some gold glove guys out there, and Bellinger won a gold glove last year. But Betts is a whole new level defensively. Number one, he's got a hose. I mean, you can't run on him. And number two, he always gets to these balls. I don't know. Balls that are going over the fence, he gets to them. Balls that are supposed to bounce in front of him, he gets to them. I don't know.
The angles he takes, the anticipation that he plays with. I mean, he is so locked in right now defensively. And I actually think he is going to wind up being the MVP of the series. I think Mookie Betts is going to have a really big series. Remember, he played in the American League. That means he's got a big database.
He's the one guy who's seen all these Tampa pitchers.
Yeah, he's got a big database on these guys. He's faced them and has faced them with some success. So I love Mookie Betts to be the MVP of this series. And he'll do it with his glove and his bat.
Although Seager ain't slowing down much. I mean,
no, Seager looks fantastic.
I think Seager has kept himself from being involved in any trade talks in the offseason. He's too good now. You can't, they won't trade him. You know, I was sitting here watching Betts in this series. How in the world did the Red Sox come to the conclusion to trade that guy? The Red Sox aren't a small market team. They could afford to pay somebody big money. Why in the world would you trade a 27-year-old outfielder who hits with power? He's got great speed. He plays defense. How in the hell did they trade him?
Well, I think it does come down to exclusively money, which
they're not broke.
No, they're not broke, but they've got the second highest payroll in baseball behind the New York Yankees. So they're in the luxury tax. Dodgers have the third highest payroll in baseball, and the Rays have the 28th highest payroll in baseball. In fact, you know, it's a shortened season, right? There's only 60 games in the playoffs. The Rays during this period have only had five guys make in excess of $1 million.
I'm trying to think of who the two teams would be below them. One of them is Oakland. Who would the
is
other
one of them,
Oakland
is one of them
for
the Indians?
Sure. But the Indians, but the Indians have a whole bunch of like, well,
now,
they really
have a bunch of, they don't have anybody who makes any money anymore. I mean,
that's
like
true.
The highest paid guy on the team is probably Brad Hand.
And Lindor's on his rookie deal. All the pitchers are on their rookie deals.
Carlos Santana,
actually,
you know, you get an option.
Actually, Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Miami are the teams with lower payrolls than the Rays.
Interesting.
Not Oakland. Yeah, Oakland's actually number 25 in payroll. So they're all right in the same ballpark. It's unbelievable, by the way, that they're able to do what they're able to do. I mean, for Tampa to be able to do this requires so much scouting. I mean, you know, somebody in the Rays organization said, you've got to scout other teams as much as you scout your own team. Your objective is to know more about the other guy's organization than he knows. And that's how they stole a guy like Randy Arozarena during the offseason in a trade with the Cardinals. They scouted him. They knew that's exactly what they wanted. And by the way, the guy makes nothing. Nobody on this Rays team really makes much of anything.
Snell.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Snell, right.
Yeah,
Snell's the one guy.
Yeah.
But think about this. Only five of these guys during this shortened season are making in excess of $1 million.
Wow.
They've got Morton at $15 million for this year. That's their highest paid player, and they've got Snell at $7 million. Everybody else, $1 million or less. So the fact that they're able to do this, and what's weird about the storyline, right, is that Andrew Friedman invented the system that Tampa Bay has used so successfully over the years. They're basically cribbing what Andrew Friedman left, and now they're facing an Andrew Friedman team with a gigantic budget, all the same principles, all the same objectives, but they're able to do it with a bigger payroll. And in the end, I think that the talent, there's just in the same way there was more talent on the Lakers than there was in Miami, there is more talent with the Dodgers than there is with Tampa Bay, particularly at the plate. And I think the Dodgers are going to rake this series. I think they're going
to
rake.
I do too. That's why Dodgers in five, straight to the title, cakewalk. Let there be cake!
Let there be
cake!
I can't quite bring myself to that.
Hey!
Look at you. Look at you. Stealing my own bit and using
coming
it against
to
me.
Fight ya.
Terrible. Terrible. Yep. Straight to the title. There you have it. All right. Coming up next, we'll get some more of your calls in here. 877-710-ESPN. John has Dodgers in five. I have Dodgers in seven. And I basically spent, John, the last 24 hours doing nothing but studying the Rays. I watched them in the ALCS. I watched those games for the most part. And I've been studying about the Rays ever since, because what's the point of being here unless you don't really know the teams? I think that the game will be decided late tonight. I think Clayton Kershaw is going to give them five solid innings and maybe get into the sixth inning. I'd rather see him just go five, but Dave may try to stretch him out. Right, and then so we're going to see that bullpen.
Okay. Yeah. I have a question. When the Dodgers go to the bullpen, okay,
yes.
The other night they stuck with Julio with the game on the line, but your yep. guy, Kenley Jansen, warmed up and ready to go at a moment's notice. If tonight the Dodgers lead 4-3, going to the ninth, and you got to go to the bullpen for a closer, are you giving the ball to Kenley Jansen?
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
God, I would love for this to be a cakewalk. I would love for it
Relax.
To be a cakewalk.
Dodgers in five. Piece of cake.
So here is Clayton Kershaw, who will get the start tonight, talking about the Tampa Rays.
They've got a great team. Without saying, obviously their pitching staff is what gets talked about a lot, but they got a lot of guys on the offensive side of it that can, make you pay if you make mistakes. And, Arozarena, the way he's going right now, swinging the bat really well. Try to limit him as much as you can, but they got a lot of guys. Obviously they try and play the platoon advantage, so they got a lot of guys switching in and out right, left. But, they got a great team.
All right, so let's Mace.
Let me play one more. Here's what winning the World Series would mean for him and the team.
Obviously the World Series is a special thing. I think maybe the question is, does it compare regular season to a normal season and things like that? And I think the answer is yes. Just from what we've been going through in the postseason, the postseason's been, in some aspects a little bit harder with the extra round and things like that. It's been a little bit more of a crapshoot with, 16 teams making the postseason. This tournament that was started in October was really it's been a tough go, facing different teams and in different bubbles and different things like that. So to be able to win a World Series after all this would be just as special as any other one for sure.
Come on, Crenshaw.
All right, now.
By the way, go ahead.
I need for Mason to answer this question. I need the Kenley Jansen music, the suspense music. All right, Mace. So answer my question. It's 4-3. We're going to the last inning. We're going to the top of the ninth.
Oh.
You only got to get three outs.
Three outs.
And Kenley Jansen's up, and another reliever is up. It can be reliever of choice. There's two guys up in the
Brisdor pen. Gratterall. Let's say it's Brisdor Gratterall.
Jansen and option B. Do you trust Kenley Jansen with a World Series game on the line, or do you want to give somebody else a shot?
John, did you watch game 6 of the NLCS?
I did. 6 pitches it took him. 6.
Did you notice the velocity on those pitches?
I didn't care because there were only 6 of them. I was very impressed.
He was low 90s. That's where he needs to be. He looked crisp. He looked sharp.
You mentioned Gratterall. He's high 90s.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Gratterall. He only strikes out 5 per 9 innings. It's not a significant strikeout advantage to have Gratterall in. Look, Kenley looked great in that game. Kenley, I don't know why you wouldn't go to Kenley at this point. His stuff looked great. His velocity was there. He's going to go to him in a 4-3 game. He's absolutely going to try him in a 4-3 game.
Wait a minute. It was.
And by the way, John, did I not bet money that Kenley Jansen would get least another save during this series?
But hold on. That exact scenario came up in game 7. 4-3 game, ready to go in the bullpen. He elected to stick with Urias.
Yes.
Why wouldn't? So I'm.
You've got a hot pitcher. You ride the hot pitcher.
That's what I say.
Urias looked really, really good.
Did the eighth inning guy get out of the inning with no blood. If that eighth inning guy, whether it's Trinan, Gratterall, Urias, whoever it is, if that guy, Joe Kelly, if that guy got through the eighth the way Urias got through the eighth the other night, and he's showing no signs of slowing down, I don't want to see Jansen ride the
hot hand.
I want to
see Jansen. I think Jansen
so you would have brought Jansen
to be
in
reliable.
In game seven.
I would have. In the case of game seven, it was a different scenario because Julio Urias was just rolling. I understand
correct.
Why he stuck with him there. But tonight, let's say Blake Trinan throws the eighth. Well, I'm going to Kenley for the ninth.
Wait, and he throws a clean eighth? Nobody gets on base? Trinan.
And I'm going Kenley for the ninth. Kenley for the ninth.
Because he's not going to see guys, like if he's going second time through the lineup, yeah. But he's not. If he had a clean inning the inning before, leave him in.
Yeah, I don't know. Why have you given up on Kenley when his stuff looks so good?
Because he's like pouring gas on a fire, man.
Yeah, but his stuff looked good. They put him in a three-run game.
I want an honest answer to this question. You telling me your heart rate doesn't go up when Kenley Jansen takes the mound?
My heart rate is really high when the World Series is happening anyway. I don't know that
Liar.
It can speed up. I get
You're
so worked up.
You're ducking the question.
Yeah. No, I'm on my World Series.
Jorge, does your heart rate go up when Kenley Jansen gets the ball?
Big time, man. I tweet about
it. Hey, wait a minute.
Man, are we ready for this?
But Jorge, doesn't your heart rate go up in the ninth inning anyway?
No.
You're hanging on to a 4-3 lead no matter who's on the mound.
Gratterall throwing 99 miles an hour, man.
Or
come
100.
On. Come on. Go with the kids.
I'm going to Kenley. By the way, I think we'll see Gratterall earlier in the game.
I do too. That's why. You know, that's why Gratterall probably won't be available. Let's say your scenario plays out.
Yes.
Kershaw pitches only five innings.
Yes.
I think it would be some combination of Gratterall, Trinan, Kelly, and unfortunately Jansen.
And also maybe Victor Gonzalez.
6, 7, 8, 9. I think that's what that would look like. But if Kelly gets a clean eighth, leave him in. Come on.
By the way, we're also going to see Pedro Baez tonight.
Somebody check on Bergman if they pitch Pedro Baez in the World Series.
I think we're going to see Trinan, then Baez, then Gratterall, and then Kenley.
Why don't you just put my heart on those paddles that they zap you with that the paramedics carry?
You need
with
a defibrillator?
I do. No, you can't do that to me. You can't go Baez Jansen to me. I ain't making it through that. I'm an old guy now. Come on.
Yeah, but it worked. But
Gratterall's 21 and throws 100 miles an hour. But he doesn't know any better. Leave him in.
Here's what you got to admit. Everybody bags on Dave Roberts all the time, right? Dodger fans are like, he didn't do this. He should have made a change there. Why'd he do that? Too much Friedman, all that stuff. He made every right move in game seven. But I don't hear anybody calling in and saying, hey, Dave Roberts, great job, game seven.
I got a tweet that said, if the Dodgers don't win it, you got to cut bait on Roberts. I mean, really? You're going to cut bait on the guy who got you to three World Series in 4 years?
Yeah, no, no.
I mean, what is your bar of success? If he's getting you to three World Series in 4 years, you don't fire that guy. I don't care.
Yeah, you do not.
I don't care if the Dodgers get swept. You don't fire Dave Roberts, no matter what.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. By the way, we should mention that Danny Green of the Lakers is going to be joining us.
Hey, say that again. The world champion Lakers.
Los Angeles Lakers. Nice. Yep, of course. He is going to join
LeBron
us at...
says, I want his... They lay some respect on that name.
He will join us at 3:15 today. 3:15. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, want to let you know Bob Nightingale is going to join us at 3 from USA Today. And then at 3:15, Danny Green of the world champion Lakers will be with us. In the meantime, going to do some Radio Tinder. I'm live in Dallas getting ready for World Series Game 1. John's back in L.A. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. Well, AMC Theaters says that it expects its reserves of cash to be, quote, largely depleted by the end of 2020 or early 2021 after being closed for 5 months from the pandemic. One way AMC is now trying to bring moviegoers back is by offering to rent out an entire screen in their theaters to groups of people for as low as $99. AMC announced the rentals, available in every state except New York, Alaska, and Hawaii, will allow up to 20 people to attend a private screening in their own theater. Is this something that you guys would do with a small group of friends or family? Swipe left or swipe right?
Boy, I would do anything to save the theater business because I think there's a chance it's going down the drain. Mace, I would do, for $100, I would do that.
I actually would do that right now. Do you guys want to see Tenet when I get back?
I was literally going to say, let's do it. Let's have a little, yeah, little group thing. Let's do it. I'll go.
We should do it. Yeah, we're just us friends. We're not going to invite a bunch of other people, but let's go see Tenet. I've been waiting to see it, the Christopher Nolan movie. I hear it's a little bit mixed, but I love the Nolan stuff. I would pay $99 to rent a theater with a bunch of friends, maintain social distance, all that stuff. So, yeah, I would swipe right on that.
By the way, $99, and you say, Lindsay, we can fit up to 20 people?
Yep.
That's $5 a person. That's
nothing. $5 each.
Yeah, you pay a little bit extra for popcorn, and they said you can pay a little extra if you want a microphone, if you want to go up and talk. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to give a speech before the movie.
Yeah, Mason will not do this unless he gets a chance.
Welcome, everyone. I'm happy to have paid for you to be here.
Wait, what is that something one movie like theater that does that? It was the first time I'd ever gone there. Is it the Arclight theaters?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You always get greeted at the Arclight.
Yeah, I thought it was the strangest thing. I looked at my friend. I was like, what's going on? He was like, oh, that's a thing here. They always do that. And I was like, oh, that's super weird.
Yeah, they do it at Arclight and they do it at Landmark. I actually like it. I like it. They basically tell me where to exit if I really need to get out of there fast.
Exactly.
For whatever reason.
Right. Next one here. Baker Mayfield got a lot of criticism from fans yesterday if the Browns lost 38-7 in despicable fashion to the Stillers, as we like to call them.
The Stillers.
The Stillers. Emily Mayfield doesn't want to hear it, though. Baker's wife called out Browns fans on her Instagram story following the loss to Pittsburgh. Quote, he's not in an easy position, and he's grinding for the city. It takes time. Don't send me stupid bleep. This seems to be a bit of a trend. Players, wives, and family members getting into it with fans on social media. Does this need to stop? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, she's going to find out that she can't win. If she wants to bring this upon herself, she can. But, Mace, how many examples have we had? When you come back at the faceless Twitter mob,
yeah,
then they all come out of the woodwork. And I wish she would not do it. I think that she's going to end up feeling worse rather than better.
But yeah, I mean, it's a bad idea for Mrs. Mayfield to be on Twitter in the first place, because Twitter is an extraordinarily mean place. So is Instagram. Same thing. People posting and then negative posts and people measuring themselves by how many likes they get and how many people they react to. I would stay off of social media if I was. And by the way, Juan is not on social media at all. Is Lisa, John?
A little, but not very much. It's all her stuff's private.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mistake to go out there and try to attack the trolls, because the trolls, you're giving them too much power. You've got to let that stuff go.
I feel like it's a lot of people have been doing it lately, like a lot of famous athletes, family members.
Yeah, you know, Patrick Mahomes' mom did it.
Yep. So I feel like it's a thing, and it's just like, don't even involve yourself in that. And to me, I think it kind of looks tacky, because, I mean, these guys get death threats, unfortunately. They get all kinds of terrible stuff in their mentions on a daily basis. So for a player's wife or mom or whatever to go on social media and try and fight back at them, I just think it's a complete waste of time, and it just makes them look petty.
I completely agree. Let the trolls be the trolls. Don't let them get you.
All right, last one really quick here. Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure you guys saw this all over social media. He celebrated a touchdown over the weekend by paying homage to a memorable skit from Key and Peele, the popular sketch show starring Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
And then after he celebrated that touchdown with his fun little two-pump dance move, whatever you want to call it, he went on to throw two interceptions and he did not score again. Do you guys think that these celebrations have something to do with the way that players play? I mean, is this a thing where, you know, the other team saw that and they thought he was getting too cocky and Or is this something that am I overthinking it?
You're overthinking it. I'll swipe left on this. The game. I like it when guys celebrate. I like it when let baseball players bat fly. I loved Cody Bellinger's reaction to his home run, and I saw people were criticizing because he was strutting too much. Not for me. I loved it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but what, John? That home run wasn't the story. It was afterwards. He dislocated his shoulder during the celebration. He says now he may have a brace on his shoulder tonight, but is ready to go.
I wish he wouldn't have done that.
Smartly.
But I had no problem with what Aaron Rodgers did. I've seen guys celebrate and then get plays called back on a penalty, and people say, well, he celebrated too soon. Who cares?
I say have fun.
Right.
Yeah. I like the celebration.
I'm pro fun.
I think a guy like Aaron Rodgers, like to see him do something like that, it was just funny to me because it blew up on social media. Everybody was tweeting about it, like, oh, this is so great. You know, putting it split screen with the actual skit, stuff like
right.
that. And then he had a horrible game after that. And to me, it was funny because that became like the story of the game. That was the only good thing that came out of the game, the only interesting thing for Packers fans. And unfortunately, it kind of came as a cost to them. Like, haha, your stupid quarterback's running around celebrating with this stupid TV homage. And
are really hard on Aaron Rodgers here.
I don't know. I guess I just expect different from him for some reason. I'm not trying to hate on him. I just think it was funny. It was funny how it played out to me.
Yeah, but that game, watching that game, Mace, do you still think Tampa Bay is not making the playoffs? They now look like
they're now 4-2?
Yeah, and they look like they're catching their stride. They didn't just beat the Packers. They beat them up. And I think
Seattle
is the team that looks the best in the NFC, but I'm not so sure Tampa Bay is not second.
Well, the thing that has impressed me about Tampa is their defense. I didn't realize their defense was as good as it is. That's going to keep them in a lot of games. And it does seem like Brady's finding a groove a little bit. They probably do make the playoffs. I think I might have missed this one. Although, as always, I will stick by my opinion until it's completely wrong.
Yeah, it's not wrong yet, but I think that I now think the Saints don't look as good as they did. The Falcons are terrible. The Panthers are just okay. I think Tampa Bay wins that division. I think that they're
Tampa Bay, center of the sports universe right now.
Yeah,
LA. Can you believe that?
Tampa and LA. They're the two, both those teams are, both those cities are feeling really good about their sports.
Right, and Tampa, the Lightning won, right?
Yeah, they won the Stanley Cup.
I think the
yeah.
Lightning won the Stanley Cup.
And then the Lakers won the title, and now the Rams and the Bucks are both pretty good, although the Rams laid an egg on Sunday. These are the two sports capitals of the world taking the field tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, there you have it. There is your Radio Tinder coming up next for you.
Again, hey, Steve.
I'm in
hey, John.
I'm in Arlington getting ready for World Series Game 1, and Bob Nightingale from USA Today is going to join us next. Hey, Steve. Hey, John. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, let me tell you about Valvoline. The deal is right now, you can get a 15-minute oil change, from Valvoline. Is your vehicle due for service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids into a dirty waiting room at Valvoline. You stay in your car safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Drive up, drive out, less than 15 minutes. And visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.